The first section of The Sound and the Fury is probably the hardest to get through. In about 80 pages, the downfall of the proud Southern Compson family is told by Benji, the youngest son. Benji is mentally handicapped, mute, possibly autistic, and the prose unfolds in a stream of consciousness that darts back and forth in time. But the elevator repair service seeks out this sort of trouble.
We decided that we were just going to take on all of the awkwardness and strangeness and the theater problems that that creates so that we could preserve the language.
Director John Collins.
With that task in mind, we spent a lot of time just reading it aloud. I mean, we just really got inside of it, read it over and over and over again.
Why don't you let him alone then, Jason said. If you can't keep him quiet, you'll have to
keep your hands in your pockets, Caddy said, or they'll be froze.
33 years old going on that way after I done went all the way to town to buy you that cake. Hush up that moaning.
ERS wasn't looking for a new meaning in the text. Instead, they wanted to make Benji's world three-dimensional.
He cut up all the dolls Benji and I made, Caddy said. He did it just for meanness.
I didn't, Jason said. He
was Benji can't speak, so 11 actors play everyone in his world by reciting from the book, practically unabridged. They also draw as much as they can of their stage directions from the text. In that sense, the production is pretty straightforward, until there's a shift forwards or backwards in time. In the book, Faulkner does this time shifting by changing his typeface to italics. On stage, the ensemble does it by changing roles, like musical chairs. Take his sister Caddy.
Dogs are dead.
Benji's fixated and on her, and she appears all over the section.
So there's one actor who plays Caddy when she's 7.
And Roscus shot her.
11.
Keep your hands in your pockets, Caddy said.
And then there's another one who plays her when she's 16.
Shut your mouth, Caddy said, you dirty little beast.
And you can't predict who will play whom based on the character's race or gender. Dilsey, the black woman who runs the Compson household, is played by a black woman and a black man and a white man.
So ready to proceed into the abyss?
Caddy came in and stood with her back to the wall looking at me.
At a recent rehearsal at New York Theater Workshop, John Collins and the cast try to make sense of page 69.
Well, so we were in the hall. Caddy was still looking at me. Her hand was against her mouth, and I saw her eyes, and I cried. You're going to come in and just be flat against the door there.
It looks like Faulkner is giving you some kind of a map that you're supposed to be able to decode. But the book doesn't help us at all.
Ben Williams plays Lester, TP, and Father.
For a long time, I should say that it wasn't fun. Early rehearsals were really full of despair.
What's going on? There's a lot of just standing around and stopping and shrugging going on up here. Help.
Susie Sokol spends the whole play as the narrator Benji. And although the story is told from his perspective, Sokol's Benji acts like the rest of the world sees him. He can't talk. He avoids eye contact, and his movements are stilted and stiff.
Whenever it says moaning and hush up that moaning, then I get the sense that Benji has become incredibly agitated, and so I get physically more involved.
In researching the role, Sokol found a YouTube video in which a woman with autism describes how she experiences the world around her.
She's involved in all these repetitive gestures, but you never see her looking at the actual gesture that she's doing.
And for Benji's more childlike behavior, she pulls from her day job as a second grade teacher. She uses the way her kids run around the playground, the way they tug on their clothes. But some stage directions are harder to decipher.
Every time Caddy is mentioned, it usually says that she smelled like trees. So how do you act smelling someone like trees? You know, how do we interact that will live up to what's in the book?
At one point, the whole family turns out for Caddy's wedding, and Benji gets drunk. On stage, all 12 actors burst into a jerky, stylized folk stomp. Knees bent, arms outstretched, looking half-possessed. And for a moment, you see that it's not Benji's interior world that's confused. It's the world that surrounds him.
Sometimes I think I could be a knowing character, that the audience can look to me for some kind of solace, and that we're in it together against these other crazy Compson family.
John Collins says this literary theatrical mashup isn't about illuminating the Compson family's story.
This is the expectation that we're challenging in a way. You know, are we here to tell a story? It's sort of the same question about the novel. I mean, is it really telling a story so much as creating a universe that you go inside of for a while, and the story is just your experience of being in it for as long as he's going to keep you there.
For WNYC, I'm Jenny Lawton.